Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the HUL Limited's conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Meet Shah from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you, Michelle. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to HUL Limited's Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call for investors and analysts. Today, we have with us Mr. Akshat Seth, Managing Director and CEO of the company, and Mr. Ajay Kapadia, CFO. We will first have Mr. Akshat Seth making the opening comments, and he'll be followed by Mr. Ajay, who will take you to the financial perspectives. Before we begin, I'd like to point out that certain statements made in today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and details in this regard are available in the earnings presentation, which has been shared with you earlier. I'd like to invite Mr. Akshat to present his views on the performance and strategic imperatives that lie ahead. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Meet. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Is the line clear from our end?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining in HUL's FY24 and quarter four earnings call. As always, it's a pleasure to interact with all of you and share our perspectives on how the business is evolving, shaping up, and what the future holds for us. In today's comments that we'll make here, I think the idea is to give a broad overview of what are things to watch out for, but also talk about how the quarter and the year has panned out for us, what have been some wins coming out of it, and what are areas that we'll continue to work on to get to the kind of growth trajectory and profitability that we have been talking about over the last few calls. So for us, FY24 will be remembered as the year where we laid the foundation of what we call internally as a reimagined HUL. We've renewed our growth push in line with our strategic plan and ambition to be a $1 billion company over the next 3 to 4 years. We've come out of the year with a strong reiteration that we are on track for that ambition. Just give me one second. The acquisition of Topline, the pipes company in East India last year or early part of this financial year, and the resulting doubling of our pipes and fittings business was a major milestone. We have changed the paradigm of our branding efforts and re-energized our product innovation engine. Value mining for enhanced profitability has been established as a key organizational priority. In fact, as an example, we've run a detailed cost diagnostic in the last quarter of the previous financial year. We've identified and we are now running a program on two areas, logistics and power and fuel, as focused pockets of opportunity, and more will follow. All of this is designed towards creating a meaningful impact on the profitability side. Our most decisive steps have been towards building the organization which can take us forward over the next 3 to 5 years. We have strengthened our leadership team and our frontline teams. We are moving towards a digital-led way of working with implementations on the SAP side, SFA, CRM, loyalty programs, and an analytics platform. And we are building a culture of excellence which is striving for superior results and outcomes in every area that we are engaged in. All of these steps, I'm sure, point to an exciting FY25 and beyond for HUL. Now, if we go across various geographies and segments for HUL India, we delivered steady performance in FY24 with robust volume growth across most of our product segments. So that's been one key feature to look out. Overall volume growth across most of our product segments, and we'll talk in a little more detail about it. Overall, we reported a revenue of 2,231 crores for the year and 534 crores for the quarter, which is about 4% higher than previous year. This was achieved in the context of what we felt and experienced as a modest demand scenario and a situation where competition has intensified. Hence, pricing pressures remained throughout the year, including in our polymer business, where multi-year low PVC prices presented an additional level of complexity. However, our relentless focus on driving operational efficiencies and continuous improvement in cost structure meant that we have improved our profitability across most of the segments through the year. At Paridol, we reported a revenue of 1,144 crores for the year and 318 crores for the quarter. These are all euro numbers translated to rupees. Paridol in FY24 presented a story of opportunity amidst adversity. The recessionary macroeconomic conditions and weak consumer sentiments resulted in a near meltdown in the construction activity and flooring demand in our core European markets. In this environment, we doubled down on our efforts to gain market share by expanding our playfield to commercial segments, agile pricing, restructuring our sales team, seeding new markets, and on product innovation. For instance, to be ahead of the curve, we have launched 164 new SKUs. That's nearly 15 to 20% on top of what our existing portfolio was. And this was launched in a major in-house customer event in March 24. We also maintained relentless discipline on cost and working capital to ensure lean operations. In fact, our inventory is at an all-time low, and there are projections for further reduction during FY25. As a result, we have maintained quarter-on-quarter revenue growth for the last two quarters and also achieved positive operating margins. I'm happy to state that on these calls, we had indicated that our first objective is to make sure H2 is positive on EBITDA terms. We have achieved that. Our second objective was to make sure that Q3 and Q4 are positive. We have achieved that. In fact, in Q4, while Q3 was just about break-even, slightly positive, Q4, we turned our operating profit of 5 crores. And the quarter-on-quarter revenue growth was 16% during quarter 4. As macroeconomic indicators also show signs of a turnaround, we are confident of a smart recovery at Paridol in FY25. The second story where we have shifted, second segment where we have strongly shifted gears is on pipes and fittings business, where there is a strong momentum being built for volume growth. So volume at our scale is the number one priority and we are pushing hard for it. The result is that in quarter four, we delivered 23% volume growth. If I were to just dice out 2 months, March and April, the volume growth is north of 40%. And this is a theme that you will hear from us consistently. The number one focus is to drive volume growth in pipes and fittings. All of this is being driven by targeted distribution expansion efforts in the retail segment, as well as a focused approach to technical sales in the institutional segment. We have, you'll be happy to note, established a team which is working dedicatedly on B2G sales and institutional sales. And we are deploying the best teams and the best tools to drive our work on this area. I'm also happy to report that despite significant pricing pressure, and that pricing pressure has only intensified as we exited the year in quarter four, the profitability of the polymer solutions business improved significantly by more than 300 basis points for the year compared to previous year. And these are all due to initiatives across supply chain and material costs. You all have been witness to significant volatility in resin prices last year. The resin prices are at an all-time low. However, we believe that PVC and CPVC prices have now largely bottomed out, and that means a stable price regime for this financial year, FY25. On the growth side, we continue to believe that this segment will grow at 8 to 10%. There is demand both on private residential side, on the institutional side, and also on the government segments. In this market, we are confident of continuing to outpace the demand as we have done so for the last several quarters. The recent acquisition of Topline, as I said, has been a major milestone. The focus is currently on a successful integration, and that's where our teams are spending their nights and days, and on extracting synergies on procurement, operations, and sales. We believe, and now being on ground and inside the organization, that the expanded portfolio of products, customers, and the geographies that they serve will add further momentum to our pipes and fittings story. Construction chemicals, the newest kid on the block for us, experienced a strong growth trajectory last year. In fact, we exited the year at the March exit was at an annualized revenue of about 85 crores. So we are inching close to that 100 crore mark, and that too in a short span of about 12 to 18 months. So there is a lot of tailwinds behind that segment for us. Roofing, if we look back at the year, continued to scale new heights and delivered its highest ever sales volume for HIL. The Charminar brand that carries a 75 plus year legacy of trust further strengthened market leadership. We increased our market share, we improved our price positioning, and we deepened our distribution reach. We finished the year with volume growth of 2% and NSR growth of 3%. This is in the context of a market that has declined at an overall aggregate level. I'm also happy to report that there's been strong efforts during the year to improve the margin performance, and we finished Q4 with improved margin compared to where we had started the year. While there is overall a slow start to the season in roofing due to the general elections, we expect both volume and price growth in Q1, leading to a stronger margin performance. We will also be introducing some exciting new products in this segment to sustain our differentiated positioning and further grow our market share. In building solutions, we had a steady year with volume growth across most categories. However, this was coupled with strong pricing pressures. If I take it as an example, in blocks, our volumes during the year grew by 12%. However, the prices dropped by 8%. We are working on several value enhancement initiatives across raw material, productivity, and other cost elements to improve our profitability. These initiatives have been on for the last 3-4 months. In fact, the first set of encouraging results are with us. We finished Q4 with an improved margin. In fact, on a year-on-year basis, Q4 improved its margin profile by 50 basis points, and we expect and we have line of sight for further improvement in FY 2025. Overall, our people define HIL, and we continue to invest in building an organization for tomorrow. Our business achievements are led by the sterling contribution of our teams on the shop floor, at the front lines, and in our R&D centers. I'm also happy to share with all of you that we've been recertified as a Great Place to Work for a sixth consecutive year with improved trust index scores. As we march towards our goals, we will sustain our enabling work culture and ensure our teams are inspired to take HIL to the next level. In conclusion, I would say there is strong work that is happening internally to gain momentum. That momentum is now visible on the volume front. We will work harder to only solidify that momentum on the volume side. There is strong work happening on improving profitability. Again, the first signs of improvement are visible. We would also hope for greater support from the market on the pricing front, and that will mean that all three forces would have aligned in the right direction. But we believe those pricing pressures are transient, and we remain firmly on the long-term stated ambition of reaching that billion-dollar mark. With that, let me request Ajay to provide a detailed overview of our financial performance during the quarter and FY 2024, and both of us will be happy to take all your questions after Ajay's comments. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Akshat. Good afternoon, and thank you all for joining today's call. I would like to take this opportunity to present an overview of our financial performance and operational highlights for quarter four. In quarter four, HIL India has achieved 4.3% year-on-year revenue growth to rupees 535 crore as compared to rupees 512 crore, with positive volume growth in all business segments. The reported EBITDA for the quarter is 27 crore as against rupees 38 crore in quarter four last year. The lower EBITDA is on account of one-time cost of rupees 7 crore incurred during the quarter for acquisition-related cost and the property tax payment of earlier years. Apart from that, we have strengthened our leadership positions during the year. This has resulted in higher salary costs. The refill formulation business grew by 4% year-on-year to rupees 255 crore in quarter four. Despite sluggish demand, we continued to grow in volume and thereby further strengthening our market leadership position in the quarter and continued to enjoy customer loyalty. We have reported 200 basis point year-on-year improvement in profitability during the quarter in this segment. The building solution business grew by 10% year-on-year to rupees 146 crore in quarter four. While the volume in blocks business grew by 18% year-on-year, the margin is under pressure due to intense competition in the market, which led to lower price realization. The operating margin during the quarter is in line with same quarter of last year, and it is improved by 150 basis point over first 9 months of the year. This improvement in margin is on account of development of alternate supply sources, which helped in lowering the input cost and price increase realized in later part of the quarter. The polymer solution business remained stable with revenue of 133 crore for quarter four. The margin reduced on account of lower realization by 3 to 4% due to aggressive price drop by major players and inventory provisioning. However, in FY 24, we have made strong recovery in profitability on account of various cost reduction initiatives and strategic procurement, even when the industry price for both CPVC and PVC category declined. In flooring segment, we have achieved 13% growth in volume quarter on quarter, whereas we have reported 16% growth in revenue quarter on quarter to rupees 318 crore. The operating profit for the quarter is rupees 5 crore. Our focus on working capital optimization continued during the quarter, and inventories are at the lowest level in flooring segment. Our debt at consolidated level stood at rupees 548 crores, and the cash and cash equivalents of rupees 237 crore at the end of the year. The total debt to equity ratio stands at 0.44 as on 31st March 2024. We are confident in our ability to grow our performance footprint and create healthy cash flows going forward. With this, I would like to conclude my opening remarks. I request the moderator to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aditya from Securities Investment Management Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So if we look at last year, year and a half, we have been affected by a lot of external factors in most of our businesses. So be it slowdown in Europe affecting Paridor or increase in fiber costs affecting roofing business. So if you could just talk about how the external factors now in each of our businesses and how is the near term looking to you?
Thank you, Aditya. Let me take it in that order, and then if I'm missing out, Aditya, please chip in. I think from an India perspective, the external factors on the input side, we track closely and have a bearing, significant bearing on us. One is on the roofing side, the fiber cost is a factor. There is relative stability. There are only very modest and predicted price increases that are there planned for FY25. We do not expect any surprises or any volatility on that front, so that's in a good space, better than what it was last year. On cement pricing, while as we started the financial year, there was expectation that there will be an increase. So far, the prices are sort of held out and are largely in a softer regime. Post-election, the sense is that there will be some buoyancy on that. But we are prepared for those situations. So no surprises, and the cement price also plays out on our other cementitious part of the portfolio, which is on the building solution side. The third factor is on PVC and CPVC resin price, where, as I said, we feel the prices have bottomed out. They are at all-time record lows. We expect the pricing to be range-bound around the levels that we currently are. And that should mean that there are no further surprises like the ones that we had last year. The thing to watch out on the pipes and fitting segment is just the competitive scenario, where the larger players in the last 3 to 6 months have shown a propensity to be very aggressive on the price side, and hence you would see amongst players, the larger players who have declared results or will be declaring results in the coming days, that there is a decline in price even beyond what the resin prices would have indicated. So that's something to watch out for. Other than that, I think from a demand perspective, just given the election season, there's been a slightly modest start to this financial year. But the expectation in the market is that as this whole electioneering comes to an end, there will be a robust bounce back across segment, including in government spending. So that's the other factor to keep in mind. For us, however, and the biggest segment which gets exposed to the demand in this quarter is roofing. We are now sitting in second week of May. We are already witnessing a robust uptake on demand, and we are hopeful that this quarter there will be volume growth compared to last year. On the Paragraph side, the European business, the macroeconomic environment, the external environment seems to have stabilized. The inflation rate is now under the kind of range that the central banks would be comfortable with. Interest rates have not been increased now for almost 6 months since December. There are talks that at some point interest rates will also start coming down. But the other indicator is the consumer sentiment, where we hear from our retail partners that footfalls are now sort of coming back to the stores. And again, the expectation is that in the core Central European market, there will be a bounce back post the summer holidays, so in the August time frame. However, we have to preface that in markets like Europe, the bounce back also is a slower than a steadier one rather than a hockey stick one, so we need to be watchful. That said, the focus for us is to diversify our geographical market base away from the core Central European markets, and that's where some early wins have already started coming in. We are entering, and we have entered some large growth markets, and that will help us diversify. If I want to share an indication, the target that we are going for is that we need to have 50% of our revenues coming in outside our core home markets that were the center of gravity for us in the past. So there is a plan in place which is being executed to reduce our dependence on the European markets. So I think that will be a quick summary. If I'm missing anything, as far as external factors is concerned.
No, I guess that is, and then the price factor in case of Europe, the material cost, which went up to almost double in the last couple of years, it has come down to its lowest level now.
That's right. What we also continue to watch is the situation, the geopolitical situation around Middle East, etc. While there are some escalations that have happened in recent weeks, so far we are closely watching, and there is no material impact on any of our businesses around that.
Okay. So my next question is on Paradox. So our revenues have fallen by 16% in FY24, but our employee and OPEX costs have increased by more than 10%. So we have talked about undertaking cost-saving initiatives in this business, but the same is not reflected in the numbers. So if you could just help us understand, why would that be the case? And secondly, if I look at the commentary of the flooring companies in Europe, they expect the demand to be weak for some more time. So as an organization, how are we looking to manage balancing costs in this low demand environment and investing in growth to expand into newer geographies and markets?
Right. So you're right on the material cost. You're right on the contribution margin. The contribution margin where we started the year was north of 60%. We finished the year at around 52-53%. And that's a significant move that has happened. The manpower cost or salary cost that you are talking about is largely on account of the investments that we are doing in growing our sales capabilities outside the core Central European market. In fact, on this call and on this forum, we've been sharing this over the last 3 or 4 times that those are investments that we are making. It's on account of the new geographies that we are trying to strengthen, and it's also on account of building a muscle on the commercial sales channel, which we were not playing in earlier. As with all sales investment, there is always a little bit of a lag between the sales uptake and the time when these people come in. So that's why you are probably experiencing it. The important thing to note is that in euro terms, the increase in manpower is about 2.5%, when you convert it into INR, it looks like a 10% increase. What is actually driving it is essentially the 2.5% increase on ground. So it's not a indiscriminate increase on the manpower cost. It's a very considered increase. The impact of that is now visible. It's maybe the currency factor which moved from 83 to 89, which is giving a slightly exaggerated picture in INR terms. And the next question was on, sorry, if you could repeat the last part of your question.
So this commentary of, if you look at the commentary of other flooring companies in Europe, they expect the demand to be weak for some more time. So are we also witnessing the same? Because if the investments that we are making, if you are not able to get into higher sales, this lower margins in Parador will continue for some more time.
See, I think the commentary is true for the year that has gone by. Depending on which segment in these geographies, the flooring market dropped by about 20 to 30%, and that is a fact. Is that now showing signs of improvement? That is also a fact. Now, whether how fast will the bounce back be, only time will tell. But that said, our confidence comes from the fact that we are gaining share at the expense of other competitors. Even when I talk about DIY retail counters that we are on, we are now on more counters, and all of that is the work and effort over the last 6 months, which is what is driving the growth in revenue month on month since October. In fact, March we finished as the best month in this whole financial year, and the same trend continues in April. So for us, it is about regaining share, gaining share in these geographies. And the second part is also to diversify to newer geographies. So those are the two themes that we have been speaking on this forum, but that remain as the central theme internally as well.
Thank you, sir. Before we take the next question, I would request all the participants to ensure that they limit their questions to two per participant. As they have follow-up questions, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Nikhil Gada from Abacus AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on achieving, break-even or profitability in Parador. So firstly, I have few data questions. So if you can help me in terms of what was in polymer solutions, so what was the breakup of plastic pipes in FY24, what was putty and what was construction chemicals? And if you can also give the EBIT split as well.
Just give us a second. We are pulling those numbers out. So
So Nikhil, the split between pipes, putty and polymer segment is construction chemical is pipe is around 345 crore. Putty and construction chemical we see now put together it is around 195 crore. 190 to 193 crore.
And so what would be the EBIT split?
In terms of EBIT, the pipes and fittings EBIT for the year is 0.2% and the rest is for putty and CC.
You're saying FY20, sir, I want the FY24 numbers.
Yeah, this is FY24 number.
Okay. So you're saying 0.2% EBIT margins in pipes and remaining is for putty. Okay. And sir, just specifically for this fourth quarter in polymer, this 6 crore expense which was there, is that included in this EBIT?
No, that is part of common corporate cost unallocated.
So could you help me with what kind of inventory losses we saw in this fourth quarter for pipes?
Around 1%.
Since we have done such decent sort of volumes, you know, and there was only a 1% impact, the margins are comparatively on the lower side. So is it largely because of the competitive pressures that we have seen that we have to reduce our prices?
So, Nikhil, this is EBIT margin. Our plants are pretty new plants, 3-4 years. So we have invested 130 crore in 18-19. So if you see the operating margin, we have reported 5% operating margin in pipes business.
Yeah, I think the right one to look at is EBITDA, not EBIT. There will be differences all across the board. So, but to your question, and your question was on the performance itself, right? So, I think let me first preface before we come to quarter four. For the full year, there is a 300 basis point improvement in EBITDA compared to the previous year as far as this segment is concerned. And that is the real story from a quarter four perspective. Yes, there was a drop that's also predicated around nearly, if I'm not wrong, 16-17% drop in prices that was experienced in the industry. And then there were also, there are some trade-offs we are making in terms of pushing harder on the volume side. There are also some investments we have now stepped up on the marketing and distribution side. So these are all coming into play. But that said, it's something that you should compare with other competitors also in the industry, because just at we were also going through some declared numbers, large players, whereas this year, for us, at the EBIT level, which you were talking about, we have gained by about 540 basis points. Mm-hmm. And the declared result of one of our large peers, the gain is only about 170 basis points. If I also talk about pricing, then for this year, the price decline for us was about 14%. For the same competitors, the price decline is much more pronounced. In my estimate, it's around the 18% mark. So you should do that comparison. And I think overall, so as far as this year is concerned, there's been good solid performance both on volume and also on profitability. To some extent, revenue is driven by the resin pricing. So that's a difficult metric to track.
Understood. Secondly, just if you can give the overall,
Nikhil, one more point, the volume, we have grown in pipes and fittings 23% volume in Q4, whereas in last 2 months, the volume growth is an upwards of 40%.
Correct. So March and April, as I indicated, if we just pick up those 2 months, was 31% and 33%. And again, that's a theme that you will see recurring. We've spoken in the past, this is a business where with volume comes scale, with scale comes better profitability, and that's the path that we are on.
Yeah, and this 33% is on the HIL business without adding any pipeline numbers in this.
Yeah.
Secondly, just one question before that I'll join the queue again. If you can just overall give a guidance for all the segments in terms of what is the growth visibility you are sort of foreseeing in FY25 and what kind of margin outlook for each of the segments, please.
Sure. from a roofing perspective, and I'll share ranges, we should be looking at revenue growth in the zone of 8-10%. Mm-hmm. And we are confident of improving the margin profile by anywhere between 200 to 300 basis points from where we finished last year. Mm-hmm. Which should bring us now within striking distance to what the better numbers were FY23 and before.
Got it.
Okay. On building solutions, the revenue growth given by some capacity expansions and should be north of 20-25%. And on the profitability side, we expect to cross the FY23 profitability, which means that there is a good 350 to 400 basis point improvement that we have line of sight to.
Okay.
On pipes, just the organic volume growth, and this is not adding the impact of the acquisition, should be in the zone of about 25-30%. On Patti CC, again, a 30-35% revenue growth is what we are aiming at, driven mostly on the CC side, the construction chemical side. Mm-hmm. Profitability across the whole polymer segment should be largely stable at around the levels that we are. However, there will be some calls taken to invest on business development activities around marketing, around new product introductions, etc. So those are strategic calls and investments that we will make in that segment. In Paridol, we are expecting a revenue growth nearer the 15-20% mark, and that will also have a good positive drop down to the EBITDA level.
Can we achieve
To interrupt, sir. I would request you to kindly rejoin the queue for follow-up.
Sure, no worries. I'll
thank you, sir. We'll move on to the next question, which is from the line of Bhavin Rupani from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is related to piping segment. Hi. My first question is related to piping. So many of the large competitors are participating in government's Jal Jeevan Mission project. Do we participate in that? And if yes, what is the order size that we have? And also, if you can elaborate on how should we understand the margins and the working profile in this project?
So far, Birla HIL was not participating actively in that segment. One of the strategic rationale for our acquisition of Topline was to create the credentials and specifications to be playing in that segment. And that's a segment we feel quite bullish about. We will grow that. And I think we have to start seeing this as participating in B2G or the business that is originating from government channels. Today, a lot of that focus is on Jal Jeevan Mission. There are more such water-oriented missions or programs that are being floated. The Amrit program is another such, which is doing the same for urban connectivity. There are two other programs that will become relevant for us, which is on gas. So one of the schemes the government is talking about and has announced is to create pipeline connectivity for LPG or natural gas to a certain large mass of population. So that's the second. The third one is around broadband also, where the government is talking about creating broadband connectivity to every gram panchayat. All of these will require pipes, different specifications, but we now have the capability to service it. We also have in most pockets the credentials to service it. So it's an area that is a good focus for us. There is a team that has been set up for driving this. To give a sense of how much we do or have done, so far as the Birla HIL pipes portfolio is concerned, we have not done. It's largely negligible. On the acquired entity, nearly 50% of their business comes from these programs. So that is our starting point, and we are now bidding aggressively on many of these programs and, of course, continuing the old relationships.
All right, so is it possible for you to quantify what is the order size that we have right now from the new entity?
It'll be a difficult one because the order size and there is timelines attached to it, but I think the 50% run rate is something that should be a good indication of where our starting point is.
All right. So, sir, you indicated that 30 to 35% organic volume growth in piping. So, how should one understand the volume growth in the from the new entity?
I said 25 to 30%. On the pipe side, we should expect anywhere around the 20% mark on volume growth as far as the acquired entity is concerned.
Okay, and any sense on the working capital needs and the margins in this project?
So it should not be too different from how we've played, because the nature of such business is that our supply and our payments come through contractors and not really from a government department. I understand there are concerns from an external perspective that because these are government channels, payments might get compromised or delayed. That is not the case because you are dealing with these contractors. These contractors are large institutions. They are not, and many of them are listed entities and so on. The payment is either done on cash basis or on LC basis. So the exposure is not any different from how our other institutional business works. So this should not be a cause of concern going forward as we are scaling up this piece.
Bhavan sir, I will request you to kindly rejoin the queue for follow-up questions as you are not audible right now. We'll move on to the next question, which is from the line of Chirag from White Pine Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So I have two questions, both on Paradox. So question one is to achieve the aspirational margins. So what are the aspirational margins or the mid-term margin that you're looking in Paradox? And if you can indicate what are the drivers for that? What kind of volume we will need, what kind of raw material pricing or the net pricing support you will need to achieve that. If you can just indicate a broader timeline. I understand that it may be stopped by 1 or 2 years over the next, based on demand dynamics. And second question on territory is, it's more slightly near term over the next 12 months. You indicated that you are looking for a 10-15% kind of a volume growth in 25, right? If I understood it correctly, which segments and regions is driving that?
Hi, Chirag. The line was slightly muffled, so I'm just going to repeat the question as we heard. So your first part is on Paradol. What is the kind of margin outlook that one would expect over the next 2 to 3 years? I'll let Ajay speak about the specific numbers. However, here is how the stack up happens. Our first goal was to make sure that in the last 2 quarters, we are EBITDA positive. Having achieved this goal for the current financial year, we want to be cash positive for the full year. And next year, we should be PBT positive is how the whole stack up is happening, which basically would translate to a positive EBITDA margin of 3 to 4% for the coming year and scaling up to near double-digit levels in the subsequent 2 year period. So the steady state we are looking at by FY27 should be in the 12% range. FY26 will be in the 6 to 7% range.
Yeah. Your question on the volume growth, so as I said, mentioned, we are expecting 15 to 20% revenue growth, and volume growth will be probably it is in the range of 70 to 22%.
Yeah. I just missed it. So you said volume growth of? F25 volume growth of?
17%-22%. Again, it is depending on the mix of the product in the market.
Yeah. And so my question was, which sub-segment of Peridot business and which region is giving you, because this is a fairly strong number you are targeting. So which region and which sub-segment is where you are banking on to get this kind of numbers?
So from a region point of view, the biggest contributors, if I look at the picture over the next couple of years, will be the following. There is a recovery that will happen in the DACH region, which is Germany, Austria, Switzerland, will be one contributor. There is the whole Nordic bloc, which will be the second big contributor. And Nordic, I will also try and answer the product story. In DACH region, it is all our products which grow roughly in a 25% or which sell 25% to 30% each. In Nordic, it is largely engineered wood. The other big cluster which will deliver growth in Europe is the Iberian cluster of Spain plus, which is largely on the laminate and vinyl flooring. In terms of markets which are largely new and where we are banking on terms of investment, there are three main markets to watch out for, or maybe four. One is UK, again a composite portfolio. Second is US, which will again be more on the modular one and on the engineered wood side. And then there is China, which has done reasonably well for us in the year that closed. We are aiming to grow that. There is a strong retail presence, largely on the premium side, and that is more on the engineered wood side. Middle East is completely missing for us. We have done very small amounts, and that's the other geography to grow. So that's the overall lay of land where the growth will come from. Product-wise, in the past, we have sort of been 25% across our four categories. Give or take, that product mix will be largely maintained.
Okay. And just one clarification on the margin guidance that you indicated, you know, F26, 6, 7% and F27, 10% expectation margin. How much of pricing or let's put it, gross margin will play a role in this? Or it is more driven by operating leverage? You are comfortable with current gross margins that you have?
The gross margin that is at current level is where we will stay. It is the operating leverage which will start delivering the bottom line impact. Gross margin, there is maybe 100, 200 basis point work that is still remaining, which is on product re-engineering, etc. And as we enter some of these markets, there might be local sourcing, but largely, in fact, I would say mostly all of it will come from operating leverage.
Wow, this is helpful. So why I was asking is, if the RMC turns favorable, if the cost pressures over the last 2 years start going down, you are looking to pass it on to gain volumes. That is the right way to look at the business of Peridot, correct?
Chirag, you'll have to say that again, not clear the question.
No, I'm saying if raw material cost pressures which were there over the last 1-2 years, if they start going south, you are looking to pass it on to the customer to gain volume. That is the business approach that you are looking at for next 2-3 years. Is this the right thing to understand?
I would not summarize it that way. Can you hear us, Chirag?
Yeah.
I think the way to think about it is that the cost levels in our estimate are already now down to probably the levels that they will stabilize at. We do not expect further decline. And hence the P&L structure that we stand on today is what we would like to maintain at a gross margin level. Minor pricing here or there changes with the product mix. But there are also positive factors that will come into play. For instance, I've been sharing that we are now playing
aggressively on commercial. In fact, the other cut to your question, Chirag, on where will growth come from, nearly two-thirds of growth is expected to come from commercial customers. Commercial customers and accounts also turn out to be more profitable than the DIY and retail ones. So they will have some positive impact there as well. So I don't think we are seeking to change the gross margin and contribution structure. We are not trying to play the price game, but maintain the current P&L structure. What I did indicate in my opening remarks is that somewhere the agility needed on pricing, and there is a fundamental change that we are doing maybe 24 months ago, and that's how the market in Central Europe used to behave. You had one rate list, you apply that rate list to every client or every customer, and there was a certain lack of flexibility. Now, for us, in a range-bound manner, to be play with the customer to ensure that we win the account is the consideration, which means that in certain accounts, there will be slightly lower margin, and in certain accounts, there will be slightly higher margin. Also, to start looking at margins in a consolidated manner and not just on a product or SKU level is the other flexibility that we have brought in.
Great. This is helpful, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chirag.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all the participants to limit their questions to two per participant, as we have several participants who are waiting for their turn. We'll move on to the next question, which is from the line of Sanchita Sood from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi again, sir. Sorry, my line got disconnected. I'll just continue asking my question. So this is regarding your building solutions business. So our aim was to double our revenues in this segment by FY26 or 27. So are we looking at any further capacity enhancement or acquisition for the segment? How exactly are we planning on doubling our revenues here? And also, how are we planning on reaching like a 10-12% margin number from the current 5-6% levels?
Yeah. So yes, over the next couple of years, by the time we hit the timeline, there will be some capacity additions that happen. However, we are being careful that that capacity addition has to be on the non-commodity side of the portfolio. So on boards, designer boards, and things which are more aesthetically oriented and higher yields and profitability coming in from that segment is where we would look to invest. These are not large investments, but we will do that. The second thing is your question on profitability on getting to 12% or thereabout. Most of the work that is happening is on the internal cost structure. So one on material cost and reviewing the recipes, etc., is a constant thing. It's always in response to how pricing behaves in the market. That is one big area. The second area is how we can also start introducing value-added products to the portfolio which have a better margin profile to that. Again, there has been some wins on that front, but if I were to say there is material cost, there is the conversion cost where we are focused, and as I mentioned, power and fuel is a big component. The third one on the cost side is logistics, where some work is happening. And then, of course, there is, I mentioned the value-added products coming into the portfolio.
Sanchita, one more point here. The 12% margin is operating margin, which is right now in this year it is 9.5%. So 5% is PBT margin. So this is the difference.
Okay. All right, sir. And regarding my second question is regarding our roofing segment. So, so what is your outlook now regarding the chrysotile fiber prices? Is this the new normal for us?
I think the level at which we are is the normal. We do not expect a decline. The best case scenario is that the prices remain near stable at the current levels.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sanchita.
The next question is from the line of Shubham Sehgal from Skill Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes. So my question was regarding the polymer business. Yeah. So I can see there was a loss in the segment in Q4. So what went wrong there?
As I said, the Q4 picture was essentially on account of the price drop that happened. The pricing reduced by nearly 20%, and that's something that you would see across all players. That is primarily the reason why this happened. There was, but I think also, as you can imagine, across quarters there are some adjustments that happen internally, plus there are product mix variations that happen month on month. That's why it's important to look at the aggregate annual picture, where we feel we have done quite well in improving the profitability. And as I said, that improvement is nearly 300 basis points compared to the previous year. But specifically for quarter four was largely on account of the price drop.
Okay. And any more one-off costs or capex you are expected to incur because of the acquisition of Topline in the near term?
Nothing material, no.
Okay, so regarding this acquisition only, so are there any low-hanging fruits in Topline which need to be addressed? And should we expect FY25 to be a consolidation year? Or you think both HIL and Topline can start firing from FY25 itself? And what kind of margins are you targeting in piping business?
So, okay. Opportunities identified, yes. In fact, there are opportunities on the other side as well. There would be learnings for HIL also having been exposed to the Topline system. So both ways, these have been properly identified, tabulated, people have been assigned to those. They range from sourcing-related benefits to recipe-related benefits to operational leverage. And, of course, the biggest thing of the consolidation is help on the manpower side and on the management overheads. So all of that is into play. To your question, will this year largely be consolidation? My expectation is that the first 4 to 6 months will largely be consolidation, after which, and hopefully sooner than that, both should start firing at full throttle. But not the full year for sure, but maybe about 4 to 6 months for consolidation. And we are now already 1 month down into that journey.
And what kind of
on the margins for the, yeah, so as I said, for this year, we should be at similar margin levels as last year. And there will be some additional investments we'll be doing on business development around advertisement, promotions, etc. So near current levels, maybe marginally, also accounting for these A&P costs.
Okay, and could you just help me with the revenue split between your pipe sales and putty sales?
So roughly 65-35.
And what would be the volume for the pipe sales for FY23 and FY24?
FY23, in case of pipe sales, 19,500 metric ton. FY24, it is 21,000. That's 22,000 metric tons.
Okay, got it. And is your putty business making losses or is it break-even at EBIT?
It is profitable. In fact, the profitability there also this year has improved despite a drop in the pricing. And the price drop was nearly, if I'm not wrong, close to 10-odd%. But overall, the segment is profitable. Yeah, 12%.
Okay, sir, got it. And can you help me with the capacity utilization for all your different business segments?
So across roofing and building solutions, we are north of 90%. In pipes, not counting the top line acquisition, we are in the 65%-70% range.
Okay, got it. And any CapEx requirement in FY 25 and 26?
I think we've shared with all of you, we are expanding our blocks capacity in Chennai, and we are doubling that. So that project is already underway. It should get commissioned by H2 this year. There are a couple of capacities that we are planning on the putty and CC side, construction chemical side, again, to be able to better serve the various regional markets. But those are smaller investments. They are not big ticket as such. And then.
Yeah, and there are certain capacity additions in existing pipes and fittings plant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. No, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Deepak, hi.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So just a clarification first up. When you mentioned about this first quarter, we expect both volume and price growth and margin improvement. So here, what's the reference point we are talking about? I mean, are we comparing it on a YOY basis?
Yeah. We are comparing it on a YOY basis.
So last year, I think our margins were close to 8.6% at the EBITDA level. So we do expect some improvement.
You are talking for which segment?
So I was talking on a consol basis.
Okay.
Yes.
Please go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, so last year consol basis, I think we were at 8.6%. So we expected that this first quarter at least we see some improvement on both on the revenue side as well as on the margins front.
That's correct.
Okay. Fair enough. And my second question is on your interest cost. This quarter, your interest cost, I mean, it's very negligible. I mean, what's the going forward rate one should look at?
So it will be in the range of around 5 to 6 crores per quarter.
Five to six crores per quarter, right?
Yeah, in India.
Okay, understood. And then just a clarification, one more. You mentioned we FY25 we expect a similar EBITDA margin level as last year. So that's FY24 margin level that we are expecting, or FY23.
Last year, when I said last year is about 24, and I was making that commentary specifically for the polymer business.
Specifically for also,
In the other two segments, I said there will be marked improvement in the performance from a profitability point of view.
Yeah, because the reason I was asking is because you mentioned the segment-wise margin improvement in terms of roofing will be closer to your FY23 margins, and even the building division would be closer. Polymer is already higher than your FY23 margins. It's just the paradox, there is some differential, but you do expect some improvement in margin. So can one expect that FY23 EBITDA margin on the consolidated level, one can see that in FY25? Which was around 6.5%, I guess, in FY23, your EBITDA margin at the company level.
And you're asking at a consolidated HIL India
yes.
Plus Paradol, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption.
Yeah.
And at least that much here. Yeah.
Okay, and we are on track for this 12% FY26 margin, or there is some delay here and there that can happen. That we have earlier guided, right?
Oh. I would say nearer the 10 to 12%. Yeah, the range we can talk about is in that so 10 to 12. Yeah.
Yeah, 10 to 12% FY26 EBITDA. Fair enough. That's it from my side, sir. I think all the very best to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deepak.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to kindly limit their questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Keshav Garg from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
So last year you told us that we will do $1 billion revenue in the next 3 years. Last year there was a marginal decline in revenue. Now this year you are saying that in the next 3 to 4 years we will do $1 billion revenue. Now sir, if we see that if we take segment by segment, then except for the roofing segment, which is our traditional segment, in the building solution as well as in the polymer solution, we are grossly and comprehensively underperforming our peers, the competition. Now, for example, in the polymer segment, our revenues are flat since past 3 years, and our margins for FY24 are the lowest in the whole industry, at least amongst all the listed players. If we see the building solution segment, then there is a player, Big Block Construction, which is doing less than half the revenue that we are doing in AAC block, but their PBT margin is 20%, whereas our margin, PBT margin, PBIT margin is 5%. And their market cap is almost equal to the market cap of HIS. So after grossly underperforming in the domestic market, we have gone into a saturated or declining market like Germany, and then there we are trying to do the impossible. So it seems we are in a totally value destruction journey. The profit after tax is fallen by 19% CAGR over the past five years. Our return on capital employed is less than the cost of capital. So I'm sure HIL is a great place to work for employees, sir, but when will it become a great place for shareholders?
Hello. Thank you, Keshav. I think it's your comments are a great shot in the arm for us. Thank you. Yes, I think your assessment on where the opportunities lie are as per time, I think it's not too different from what we've also called out. But you can imagine if that's the situation, and like there's no fun in having a debate around whether your assessment on a certain segment is 80% correct or 100% correct. But I would also say that it's not entirely inaccurate. There are two choices. The choices are either we completely are in a zone of disappointment, or we are on a zone of recovery and there is a plan to do that. I think we opted for the second one, and that's the journey we are on. You would also appreciate none of these are overnight switches that can be done and we can turn them on and we are suddenly on a different trajectory. A big part of what Ajay and I have been sharing is essentially to also give you the comfort that what are the various dimensions on which the plans have been put in place, teams have been brought in, execution is happening. Recovery, as you would appreciate, is always a steadier and a somewhat slower one. I have not been privy to hockey stick recoveries in any business. So, yes, your assessment and the identification of those opportunities are by and large in the right ballpark, but that is the journey we are on.
So, I just want, sir, if you could tell us that, sir, for Parador especially, sir, there has to be, sir, whatever efforts you are putting, sir, we appreciate, sir, but there has to be some deadline that if we are unable to turn around this company by this time, then we will rethink our plans. So because there is no point, so just like Tata acquired Corus and they kept on putting money and ultimately they are drastically winding down the capacity. So it's better to just control the losses rather than just compounding the mistake by keep on putting more and more funds and more management bandwidth somewhere where the prospects are not great.
If I may just ask, Keshav, have you been following the Paradox story for the last 4-5 years?
Sir, it's
or is it after this year, a recent 4-5 quarter story that
profits we have made, it will be a cumulative loss. So there is a time value of money also, there is an opportunity cost also. So it's just a feedback from your shareholders that please rethink your priorities. So because the growth is in India and we are trying to struggle in a saturated market. So if you see the Eurozone economy is stagnant since 2007 at $12 trillion. So I mean, what's the point of struggling over there? It's beyond comprehension.
I think part of that, Keshav, I think it's important to understand why there is optimism and there is a slightly different point of view that we have internally about Paradox than maybe your perspective on it. The most important thing is that the product, the brand, and the equity that we have at that company is worth a lot more than what it is showing up at the moment. I'm not even talking valuation, I'm talking in terms of revenue and P&L performance. We want to give it our 100% to make sure that its true potential is reached. We now have line of sight of getting there. There are early signs of recovery, and one of the things that I would respond to, you said, you know, Eurozone is a certain market and certain economy. The question I will ask you is, are there no successful companies in the Eurozone? And drawing inspiration from those, we feel that we can be one of those, which also means that part of the revenue portfolio will need to be diversified from a particular geography to a few more geographies, which is the task that we are on. I will candidly admit the last 12 to 24 months have been difficult. I will also highlight that the previous 24 months were great. And the same set of shareholders were also extremely happy about those 24 months. Given there has been a recessionary period in that geography, should not mean that the core that we hold on to suddenly becomes not valuable. Yes, there is a recovery and we are putting solid efforts to ensure that it's an accelerated recovery from where we stand. And to your question, there should be a timeline. Yes, there is always a timeline. Has that time come in our assessment? No. Because there is juice left and we want to make a undiluted focused effort in realizing that.
Sure, sir. Sir, I hope your efforts bear fruit.
Mr. Garg. I would request you to kindly rejoin if you have follow-up.
Thank you, Keshav. Thank you.
We'll take the next question from the line of Miraj Shah from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. My questions have been answered. Just one clarification was left regarding the consolidated EBITDA margins that you were talking about. For FY26, you mentioned 10 to 12%, but what did you mention for FY25?
I think at a consolidated level at about 7.5%, 8%, yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you so much. All the best, though.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nitin Gandhi from InnoQuest. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving me this opportunity. Can you share with us what's the maximum potential revenue from each of this segment at current prevailing prices?
Maximum possible potential revenue.
Yep.
I'm just trying to build a reasonable time frame so that the answer makes sense. If I look at the FY 2027-2028 time frame, the roofing segment maximum potential could be about 1.3x of where it currently is. Building solution could be No, sir. Sorry. Ajay was helping me with some notes. Overall, building solution could be in the range of about 750-1,000, depending on the capacity addition that we are doing. Pipes and fitting our own plans, and already, I think with top line acquisition, et cetera, we have line of sight to 1,200. Our push is towards the 1,500 mark. The putty CC segment will be closer to about the 500 crore mark. Flooring Panadol in this time frame should be nearer the 230-225 million euro mark.
Sorry, how many million euros you say? 32 million.
225-230 million euro mark.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot. For this roofing solution, see, for building you are likely to double the capacity, but for roofing, any expansion is planned?
Roofing, no expansion is planned.
Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sanjay Kumar from iThought Financial Consulting. Please go ahead.
Hi, Akshat. My questions are on the building segment. What was the realization?
Yes. Hi, Sanjay.
For the full year?
I'm sorry, Sanjay. The line was.
Sir, your audio is not clear. May we request to kindly use your handset to ask questions?
Yeah. Is it better now?
Yes, sir. Please continue.
Yeah. What was the realization per cubic meter for the full year? In the building segment.
Per cubic meter, you mean to say it's AAC blocks, which is around 2,800 rupees after freight net.
Sir, isn't it much lower compared to the peers? I think the peers, even the listed peer is at 3,800 rupees per cubic meter. Why is such a difference?
That is with freight, and that number will be in the range of 3,500 rupees. Again, the prices are different in different geographies. We have plant in Chennai, in Hyderabad, Gujarat, Haryana, as well as in Odisha. Each plant has a different realizations.
Okay. What is the raw material cost for this segment as a percentage of sales?
Yeah. It's with this realization number, it will be in the range of 40%.
40%. Okay. Okay, so this is, sir, gross margin is in line with other peers, but it is not reflecting in EBITDA margin. Is it down to the efficiencies we have in our freight and transportation, or the operating leverage sitting in employee cost? Because the gross margins are same, so we are lagging behind in the other line items. Any comment on this?
I think, sir, I can guess which peer you have in mind, but it's not an exact peer because we are a multi-product BU, so we do panels, we do boards as well as blocks.
there is that difference to keep in mind. Also, we are a multi-geography player. So there are some differences that come with that. The third, the same peer also has had in quarter four a fairly sharp decline on the profitability. So there are those factors also that come into play.
Okay, got it. And so second question was on the other products, fiber boards and sandwich panels. The listed peer is going to introduce the ALC panels, autoclave, lightweight concrete panels, which is going to target our sandwich panels and fiber boards. Is this a threat? Are we working on ALC panels?
Yes. So from our side also, there is effort, but it's not a direct competition. The application are similar but not same. A lot of it is also for our type of product. There is an effort that goes in building the demand for with the right influencers for that type of product. So these are not exact substitutes to each other.
Okay. Finally, what's the capacity addition in AAC blocks that we are planning?
200,000 cubic meter in new Chennai plant.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sanjay.
The next question is from the line of Viraj from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Hi, Akshay. Three questions. One is on parallel. If you see the trend in last few quarters, you know, the sales have been on a decline and a lot is also to do with the market. And if we see the commentary for one of the largest players in Europe, you know, the view on the market is still quite bearish. So just wanted to get your thoughts on what gives you the confidence, the kind of volume growth we talked about for FY25. What is that you're seeing, you know, in terms of which gives you the confidence that you know, we'll be able to achieve that? And is that a turnaround happening from Q1 itself, or you think it's more back-ended? That is one. Second, again, on Paradox is we did some financial restructuring back in Q3, and the interest cost was expected to come down. Now, what we understand is we have provided an intercompany loan, and as well as we have provided a corporate guarantee as well. So any thoughts you can give on, you know, why we did that? And last is on the building solutions. If you look at our presence by and large on a pan-India basis, we are more on north, east and south. But if you look at some of the markets like, say, west, right, the demand-supply equation is, so demand is far excess of supply right now. So any particular reason why you're not being there or any plans of expansion in that territory as well? These are the three questions. Thank you.
So Parador, what gives us confidence on the recovery side? I think much of what we are talking about is assuming a flat to stable market environment. So whatever bounce back happens on the market will be an upside potentially on the numbers that I'm talking about. Where does that confidence come from? I think the real hard evidence is how the order books have been tracking over the last 3 to 4 months, and that order book has consistently exceeded the turnover that we have registered. That is one lead indicator that gives us a good sense of confidence. The second are steps that we have taken internally. Number one, within Europe, we have reorganized our sales teams. Reorganize the structure in which they are incentivized, which basically means that some of the success we've had in our core Central European markets like Germany is now being replicated across Western Europe and Nordics. So we are opening up channels on DIY retail, which was our traditional mainstay in Central Europe in these geographies as well. Now these channels have a way of adding scale and volume in a significant manner. That's number one. Number two, I've been talking about the play on the commercial side. There, over the last 4 to 5 months, a lot of work is now being concluded. on building the right product portfolio, the right collateral, and the right team to make a solid push towards that. That work having been done, now there are pipeline of orders that we are chasing, and that should open up a new segment. Third is the work that we are doing with our customers, also not just from a branding marketing, but also like from a product innovation point of view. We had not done a new product launch for nearly 4 to 5 years. The event that I talked about in March, think of it like a fashion week in the garment space. That's the kind of category we are in, where you need to refresh what you have as an offering to the market periodically. We had nearly 500 people come in from mostly from Europe, but also a large contingent from places like China, where nearly 40 people showed up. And that has resulted into orders, a lot of customer event interest, but most importantly, sort of reassert our seriousness of being in that business, in that geography, and the new geographies that we are getting into. Places like U.S. and China, last year in terms of the revenue performance, although still small, but have been the best ever for us. So those are also showing early signs. So a lot of the confidence that we speak about is coming up bottom up from what we are hearing from the markets that we are playing in and the teams that operate in that market. It is not a mathematical projection on Excel. These are all bottom up estimates. And I'm again reiterating that these estimates are basis continued sluggishness in the macroeconomic environment. If that bounces and there are indications that that bounces up, there might be an upside also on this. And so that was, I think, your question on Paradigm in terms of your
One question was on the refinancing cost advantage. So the annualized advantage will be in the range of 5.5 crore. Half of it is already realized in last year. The balance will come in this year.
Yeah.
No, I was asking
your last question was on
corporate guarantee and the loan which is done.
So that is what I said. It's a 5.5 crore annualized savings on account of interest cost reduction. Half of it is already realized in last year. Balance half will come in this year.
Okay.
Your question on building solutions. Yes, West has been an interesting market. We do have capacity. It's not that we don't have. We have a plant in Golan which produces blocks. So there is some capacity. Do we want to seriously consider putting up more capacity? Yes. Are we evaluating it? Yes. So as soon as we are in a position to announce something concrete, we'll share it with you. But we are closely tracking the market, and we agree with your view that it's an attractive one for building solutions.
Just one follow-up on Paradigm. In the past, we talked about having a pipeline of more than 70, 75 million on commercials, right? How would that pipeline be now, and how is the conversion happening? Any color you can give on that?
So we would have the exact numbers. My sense is after churning out the wins and whatever lost opportunity, we will still be in the zone of about 80 to 85 million. That I think is a healthy pipeline to maintain. What has been the win ratio? The win ratios are typically, the win loss, it's about 35% as the win ratio that happens. But you would appreciate that items in these pipelines also have a 2 to 4 month period in which it gets resolved and the decisions come. So that's the other factor to keep in mind.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Great. Thank you. As always, it's been a pleasure interacting with all of you over this call. We thank you for taking the time out. Thank you for staying engaged with the HR story. I will again reiterate, I think there were some comments that Keshav made. We take those comments in the absolute positive manner because that's the opportunity that lies in front of us. For companies with the legacy that we hold, there will be periods where the opportunity set looks wider than what it should. But that's the time when our execution capability and our legacy comes into play. And we are deeply conscious of making that turnaround in a quick and accelerated manner. So thank you so much. If you have more questions, you would like to know more about any of our businesses and how we are doing, we are happy to spend time one-on-one with any of you. But do reach out to our investor relations desk and we'll revert ASAP on those queries. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of HRL Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.